Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Salvador, Kelly Mueller's here. We wanted you to be aware of that. Your church flew in Kelly and her children. We've got Ezra here and Benjamin, but they're somewhere else, right? They you would not recognize them. I think they're shaving, aren't they? And just kind of, yeah, they're certainly looking great. But we're thrilled to have the three of them back. Jared is still in El Salvador on his way to Nicaragua doing ministry there. Man, a lot of cool things are going on. We are so grateful you're here till the 31st of July. We want our church family to know of your presence here, to reach out, touch somebody. But we're thrilled. We wanted to invite you to maybe bring greetings and just maybe share some of the things that are on your heart as well.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. We've missed you guys so much, and it's been like a warm hug coming home and just being embraced by so many people that we know are praying for us and loving on us and believing in us. And I was thinking this morning how many teams we've had come in and out of El Salvador in the 3 years that we've been there. But Hope Chapel did something amazing, and I want you guys to know that not only did they touch our hearts, but they changed lives. They physically healed people, spiritually healed people, and not only that, it changed the churches that they touched, and that's so powerful, and that was, this church did something amazing in El Salvador, and I want you guys to know.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and Jared, I spoke to him this morning, and he wanted me to send you his greetings, and he misses you guys, and he wish he was here, but I'm sure you guys have heard we're planting a new church. It's called Hope Chapel San Salvador.
Yeah.
And we're excited about that. And so we both couldn't leave the country right now because we launched the first week in September, and we're just getting things going. And so Jared had the opportunity to go to convention, so I got to stay back and keep the church going, and so this time he stayed back and is keeping the church going. So good things are happening in El Salvador, and God has called us to a difficult place, and believe it or not, it's one of the wealthier communities in El Salvador, but it's also one of the unreached groups in El Salvador. The poor communities in El Salvador have churches on every corner, and they go to church every day at 3 o'clock. And but in the wealthy communities, you don't see a church very rarely, maybe one, and it's usually a Catholic church. And so we felt called to plant a church in the wealthy community, and so that's what we're working on right now. And God has continued to provide for us and take care of us and bring people in. And right now, we have a small little team, but a strong team, and we feel confident about what God's doing through and in us. And so we're excited about that, and we're excited to have you guys praying for us and believing in us, and also to have the name of Hope Chapel. God's in this place, and we grew in this place, and we know God's going to use our church in El Salvador. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you, Kelly, for sharing that. How positive and faith-filled are their statements?
Yeah.
You know, that's a part of the joy for Ainsley, me, and Hope Chapel here, is we love equipping people to go equip or make disciples. We're not going to be able to make disciples of every person, but we are to go make disciples of all nations. How many get that? All nations. So that means some of us have to go into nations. So thank you for being a nations changer. Very powerful, very effective. So you're here, you're going to be seeing some relatives, you're going to be connecting with some churches, just kind of, so we're hoping you get a little bit of a break somewhere, a little bit of a rest. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, so this week was a little crazy. We hit the ground with Disneyland the next day after the airplane. But after this week, we're going to actually be with my mom for a week, and then we'll be here for a little over 2 weeks, just here in Huntington Beach, just resting, being around you guys. And so we're available if you want to go to the park or if you want to have coffee. Please let me know. We'd love to just be with you guys and rest. So. Yeah.
Good. Well, Ainsley, would you take a moment? Our missions committee, who has assembled, and Gail back there, I'm not sure if we have other members at this service here, but our missions committee gathered some things for you and for the boys.
Thank you.
A little bit of welcome basket, and there's
How
some
fun.
Things. We don't know if you go from house to house, if they're going to provide anything like food, but we thought we'd throw in some snacks and some gift cards in there as well. So,
thank you.
Yeah, Taco Bell, that'll...
We love Taco Bell.
Yeah. Some real Mexican food. Yeah.
Hey, we don't eat Mexican food. We eat pupusas.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Good.
Well,
thank you.
Well, we sure love you. And you're going to be at your mother's church next Sunday. And then next Sunday, the following, we hope we'll have a video, an update of the church plant. And that'll be great. So we'll get some more information from you. And so would you just put your hands together and thank so much. Thank you very much. God bless you, Kelly. God bless you. Well, I wanted to, just before we kind of lead a segue into the message, we've got a fantastic family that has returned to us. And Poi, Lita, and our young adults, would you come forward real quick? Let's show the Smith family off. Would you join me on the platform? Poi and Lita Smith. Their oldest daughter, Aloha. Then we have youngest daughter, Kainoa, and then Malachi. And they are here from Tahiti. We are thrilled about this. A little bit of an update. When you take a look, they usually come visit us about this time of the summer, taking a break from their church. They're 5 years in Tahiti, and in our conversation, 8 years. Wow. No wonder why these look like adults to me. So 8 years in Tahiti, and in our conversations, we just realized God was shifting your heart, doing some changes. We conversed, talked a little bit, talked with our missions committee, informed our church council that you were considering some options, and we've invited you back for a two-year stay here in Huntington Beach. They will be here with us. We're going to groom them to be Foursquare missionaries back to Tahiti. So right away in July, Poi and Lita will be taking a five-day intensive training introduction to Foursquare Missions International in L.A. So we're thrilled about that. We have worked with them to help secure some things. Thank you, Melody Lord. She is the hostess, helping them stay at their house, and she's so gracious that way. So there's a lot to be said. We're going to be sharing some updates, but we wanted to take a look. Don't they kind of look also glowy and so Poi, you want to just bring greetings and say hello for
Yorana. It's just so awesome to be here. It was an amazing, it was a miracle getting here. God opened every single door. He did it, and he promised. We're just walking on his promises right now. So it's just an amazing thing. And it's so good to be with you this morning. We've come full circle. We were actually sent from here. We went to Hawaii, went to Tahiti, and now we're back. Ooh. And this is home. Actually, this is our home church. To be with you is amazing. And to be back here this morning in worship with our family, something we really needed. When I was worshiping myself, I just went, wow, you didn't even understand how much I needed this. Want to thank you guys. Thank you for that you love the Lord first and foremost, and that you love us because of him, and that you have supported us financially, spiritually, prayerfully, and you have sustained the work that he sent us out to do. And thank you for welcoming us with open arms. We love you guys.
Amen, boy. Thank you, boy. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. So let's extend our hands and just welcome them home with our blessing. Lord, we thank you for the Smiths. Lord, just remembering during our early days when their children were just so young, and some of them even in our high school youth group. Lord, thank you for bringing them back. And that, Lord, again, Lord, you've asked us to teach what others what we have taught so that they in turn will go into all the nations and make disciples of all nations. So, Lord, as they are here, Lord, we speak your grace and blessing upon Poi and Lita, Aloha, Kainoa, Malachi. Lord, this will be a wonderful season for them, especially for the young people, as they transition in school and in maybe life pursuits. Oh, God, lead them. You've got details and a great future for all of them. In Jesus' name, amen, everyone. Thank you, friends. Welcome home. We're glad that you're here. Praise God. Well, at this time, we're going to power up our screen and just let you, by way of introduction, our summer series that we're going to enjoy and begin right now.
And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light. Everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5.
Well, friends, Bibles in hand, we're going to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're beginning this summer series. Last night's church service, we are going at 7 Saturday night services. They're entitled Saturday Night Hope. Man, it was a very good turnout, and so many of you participated by reason of just distribution of food from so many of our guests. We were thrilled about that. So as we take a look at our lights and see if you need a hand for a Bible, that would be great. We're looking at a series that we are entitling, here it is, Entering the Kingdom. It's the series on the Beatitudes. So that's where we're at right now as we take a look at what that is all about. That is our series. We're going to be looking at this through the summer. Pastor Noah Lani is also speaking on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, how the kingdom looks a little bit different. And I'll tell you, you'll be getting a 1-2 enjoyable approach as you take a look at both messages, Saturday night and Sunday morning. So we're glad that we're together. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that. Hey, just to throw you out there, I heard some of the young adults are going fishing. They're wanting to borrow my tent and my fishing rod and reel, and I just, what is that all about? But it sounds like they're real professionals. How about that? Is that all right? So here's one. Here's a joke for them. There's an atheist that was fishing on a lake, and all of a sudden, his boat was kicked high into the air by the Loch Ness Monster. He was flipping end over end. The boat was flipping end over end. And just as the Loch Ness Monster opened its mouth, about ready to swallow him, the atheist cried out, "God, help me!" And everything stood still. I mean, complete stop. He stopped tumbling. The mouth of the monster was open. And a voice from heaven says, "I thought you didn't believe in me." And the dude said, "God, give me a break. A couple minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." Okay. So if you think you can do anything, you just never know, huh? Just things can happen at any time. Well, our series, once again, since our whole theme for the year is God's Kingdom Seen in 2017, naturally, it's just a part of us to say, aren't we enjoying aspects of the kingdom? Just as we were worshiping, there's still aspects. God's raining down, trickling things of his kingdom. You say, man, I recognize that. I see that. That is a fresh presence of God that I normally don't see or obtain during my days of work or maybe study. But as we take a look at today's message, we're looking at what is called a heart full of the kingdom. We're beginning with Matthew chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 1 through 16. Let's take a look. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking from a hill. I don't know how they got the word mount. It's really a little bit of a knoll. You'll be there with us when we enjoy our time together in November of 2018. It's a beautiful, really scenery, northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, right near Capernaum, which is Jesus's, really his home base kind of thing. And it's outstanding. But the Sermon on the Mount, that's just because the crowds were so massive, he decided to sit down and project and preach. But you could say this is a sermon from the pulpit. You can see it really should be something called the Sermon from the Monarch, because this is a king describing what the kingdom's all about. And so we're going to see it just looks completely different in our setting of our society. But the king is saying this is the kingdom. And to enter into the kingdom, this is how it looks. Man, my ears perk up when something like that happens. Let's pray just before we proceed with reading the word. Father, thank you for what you're doing already. And that, Lord, because of our interaction with you, so much has already been gleaned. So, Lord, we set our focus on if we're going to see the kingdom. Oh, God, you have to roll back the scrolls. Some of our eyes are still crusted over. Some may even still be just resenting something and can't see. We're still thinking about self. Lord, move us into the kingdom. And let us see, Lord, your word now. That will change us so that we can actually benefit the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse 1 through 16. I'll read along. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So when we take a look here, we're looking at the manifesto, the kingdom manifesto. Jesus is sharing some things, and we're looking at Matthew 5:3 in particular. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We're going to start off, but just a little bit of an introduction here. When you take a look and you stack, there are really blessings, 9 blessings. He's using the word blessed. And when we come to that, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. It's amazing that word blessed, because we could come along and say, that just sounds so church-like. That word literally means one that is not only happy, but happiness, blissfulness, contented. That's really what the, in other words, I like to say it's the way your life's going to work out. Man, you're going to have one life that really works out. Rutgers did an article, and they said that, man, today's people in our society are less happy than they were 30 years ago. So people are just not happy. They're not happy with their jobs. They're not happy with their incomes. They're not happy with their living arrangements, their neighbors. Their people aren't friendly. They're not happy with relationships. I mean, the list went on. They're just not happy. They're looking for that happiness to be in some other location. They're not happy with their settings. So when we talk about this, we're not talking about just blessed, like giddy craziness. We're really talking about that inward contentment that really says, man, life is good. Even if nothing changes, I feel awesome. And so we're looking at the manifesto of a king and his kingdom, and that's what he's launching out. Amplified Bible reads it this way, blessed, meaning blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous. Man, everything you touch just seems to come on out. So 56 times in the Bible, the words together, joy in God or joy in the Lord, are placed. Isn't it interesting? To have that element of joy somewhere along the line, God needs to be in the equation. We'd say, well, when I do this, I feel joyful. That's true. But man, where God and his kingdom reigns is so important. And one of the things about God when he comes, that element of holiness, that's another one of those terrible church words. But holiness really is necessary for happiness. We can't really engage God unless, man, he kind of scrubs us clean, and we're so grateful for Jesus. I mean, I want God badly, but man, I just know I come up short so often. Lord, forgive me. If I'm not blowing it in deed, I'm blowing it in mind and imagination. How did that happen? Because that's just not in my heart. So all of a sudden, the Lord comes, but man, holiness is so necessary for real happiness. So when we take a look at that, it's kind of like you talk about holiness and blessed. It's kind of like, oh man, that's just kind of like talking like cod liver oil. I don't really want to take it. I don't like the taste of it. Because you say it's good for me, I'll take it. That's kind of like some way people just talk about holiness. Like, oh, really? Come on. Let's talk about something else a little more relevant. But there's something about the kingdom of God that's so significant. And when we start dealing with this, people may not have any really clue about the kingdom of God and how to access it. And that's where this Beatitudes, entering the kingdom, really comes in. Jesus speaks, and he starts talking about realistically, he's dealing with the state of a person's condition on the inside. Lord, how's my condition on the inside? I mean, that really is important when we take a look at that, because oftentimes we'll sweep things clean, straighten up things in a home, deal with relationships, but something on the inside still isn't happening there. The best summed up the word blessed when Jesus says, this is the condition of the person's inside. Man, they're blessed. They are blessed. There's a contentment and a happiness that just comes. So some things about the Beatitudes here. First of all, I like words that have P, so I'm just going to lay it out there, P, letter P. This is a proclamation. Jesus is making a proclamation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He's not saying this is how we should feel. That is not it. He's not saying this is some emotion. You just got to have to be blessed. Are you happy? Are you if you're poor in spirit? This is a proclamation, which means this is the way it is in my kingdom. So it's a proclamation. We've got to recognize that. You don't just say, hey, let's put it on a decoupage, hang it next to the toilet paper rack. This is something that's really more important. These nine proclamations are the second thing about them. They're paradoxical. Paradoxical. They don't make sense. I mean, they really don't. I mean, to be happy, you got to be poor. To be happy, you got to mourn. To be happy, you got to be meek. You're going to be happy when you get persecuted? Come on, that doesn't, I mean, really? It does not make sense. That is not the way we would lay it out. And I have to start thinking a little different. I have to start thinking different because I have been brought up with the way the world will proclaim a blessed person. Blessed are the wealthy. Blessed are the healthy. Blessed are the beautiful, and it helps if you are blessed and tan all over. So it's paradoxical, it's counter. And so not only is it proclamation, it's paradoxical. The third element, just recognize, it's progressive. And our time together, as we progress together, you will recognize one leads into the other. If you're poor in spirit, you'll mourn sin. If you're poor in spirit and you mourn, you're going to become meek. From that meek, you're going to start to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man, entering the kingdom, man, it's just not about, hey, how cool is this phrase? It's progressive. And this first one today is so significant, because if somebody doesn't quite catch the blessed person being poor in spirit, they may be kind of just waiting for heaven, because the rest of it's a pipe dream here on earth. They're still not happy. They may not really be content. They're not going with the manifesto of the king. So let's take a look here, how to have a heart full of the kingdom. How to have a heart full of the kingdom. Just some things we want to take a look at, and we're looking, first of all, clean your heart continuously. I love it in Jeremiah 24, verse 7. If you find Jeremiah 24, verse 7, you'll see it in the Old Testament. Find Isaiah. It's a big book in the Old Testament. God is all about just trying to give us a new heart, new set. In Jeremiah 24, 7, he says, then I will give them a heart to know me. I'll just lay it right there. Oh, Lord, give me a heart to want to know you. I really may not give a rip. When we take a look at this, poor in spirit refers to literally nothing in the Greek. Greek language uses poor in three levels. There is a person so poor, they have nothing with which to buy food. They are really just impoverished in every way, absolute poor. Then there's second area of poor in the Greek, and that is poor politically, poor in social status, poor in what they have to say. They just, nobody wants to hear what they have to say. They're just poor. You mean nothing to me. And then the third is abject poverty. I mean, there's just nothing in the house. All rooms are bare. You go to try to make something or do something, there's nothing there. Nothing there. Plenty of room now for the kingdom of God to come in. That's what Jesus is talking about. Blessed are those that clear out things so that I can bring the kingdom of heaven on down. See, sometimes we can make our lives so cluttered, we really don't have enough room. So when we deal with this aspect, just, I mean, how many have ever gone to a buffet and you want to get your money's worth? Have you ever been there? You've paid for your company to come dine with you, but you're going to make sure you get your fair share too. Because you eat so much at that buffet. You hurt. Has anybody ever done that? Come on. Seriously. You don't want to lie in church. Come on. That's not good. And you know, as you just start going for it, I remember one of the places we would enjoy is Hometown Buffet. Row upon row of salads. Then you go over and say, I've got to just check out the desserts. Two aisles. And then the cuts of meat. Man, where do I begin? And we would just gorge ourselves, wouldn't we? I remember our son Luke, all he wanted was mac and cheese. Really, Luke? Mac and cheese? And something called chicken nuggets, you know what I mean? And he would go. One day we were looking for Luke. And we're like, where's Luke? He's back at the buffet line. All of a sudden, we see across the table and these fingers come up. And Luke's sprawled out on the chairs. He can't fit anymore. So much mac and cheese. He got sick. He did, things were tight that time. But when we went to Hometown Buffet, we buffeted that body. And you know, when you go to eat, somebody's going to say, now make sure you save room for what? You don't say, I mean, you want that dessert and you can't fit it. Seriously, we took a guest one time and they buffeted their body, so they started stuffing the cookies in their purse. So please don't. I was going to eat them anyway. No, you got to eat it here. No, I don't. So I said, well, this is how, and I start jogging a little bit, see if I can pack the things down and maybe walk around the restaurant because I'm going for the dessert. But I hurt so much. I mean, it's like, oh. And then the food just doesn't taste so good. You start spitting it out the side of your mouth because you go, wah, wah. But I'm getting my money's worth. You know, sometimes that really is the way we are spiritually. You say, you know, I'm so concerned, so overwhelmed with getting things done. I've just got to remember, save time for God at the end of the week. And we're so packed, we don't have time. And that's what Jesus blessed. The happiest people are poor in spirit. Because God says, I'm going to bring down the kingdom of heaven. Because now you got room for me here. Bam. Oh, that just sounds like a happy place to be, isn't it? Lord, I don't want anything to get in my way. I love Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes we have to just say, Lord, my heart, my mind, my attentions, my affections are just so involved with other things, I don't have any room for you or the kingdom. What season of life are you in? God doesn't say, blessed are the poor in anything else except heart or attitude. It's really, you can be a millionaire and yet desirous to say, I want more of you, Lord. It's really a heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in heart. How's your heart doing? That's where it's at. That's really where it is. A condition where you maintain a dependency upon the Lord. I'm always in that condition when I go into the dentist chair. Isn't that true? And they bring out the drill. Man, I have no unconfessed sins. I am squeaky clean. New filling plus, man, I'm washed in the blood. There's something about when you lose control of things. We see it in people, don't we? When they are facing surgery and they're facing long medical treatments. It's like, Lord, you've got to do something. That's where Jesus says, man, those are going to be the blessed people. They are dependent upon me. So as we look here, clean your heart continually. Number two, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4, great verse, says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust also in him, he'll bring it to pass. So when you start cleaning things up, saying, Lord, my life's getting too chaotic and I know I don't have time for you, sweeping things, now I just want to delight in you. Because I'll tell you, if you don't take it to God and spend time with him, you'll fill your day with something. We all have the same amount of hours. You ever want to see what a person treasures, go find out how many hours they spend at certain things. Sweetie, I love you. I love you. How many hours you spend with your marriage? Well, she knows I love her. So where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. Delight in the Lord. So when we do here in John 15:4, Jesus talks about abiding. So it's a life of really working together collectively. And I really think that as we do and see these things, that we start to see perspective so much better. When you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart starts to take on a change. You really see things correctly. You really do. Oh, man, I love that. I mean, just a fresh sleep at night, you wake up, you feel better about. Same situation you're facing, you just feel better. Same with God. You got a better perspective when you're delighting in God. Wasn't worship amazing? We're still in it because we're in the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. You just start to see things better. So it's either going to look ugly for us or it's going to look good. It's the perspective. So between, I mean, it's so important how we delight ourselves in God. It's the difference between a happy family, how you see it, or a sad family, how you see it. A happy ministry of serving, or a very sad ministry of serving. How you perceive things by time spent with God. Happy are the people, poor in spirit. Man, God starts to bring the kingdom down. You see things correctly. It's the difference between a good relationship with people and a sad relationship with people. I'm telling you, it affects everything. The kingdom affects everything. You say, where is it? I'll get it. Man, start with the heart. Well, I think if I just read a book, no, man, start with the heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. So correctly, as our eyes see things, that wonderful element where we just say, Lord, thank you. It's the difference between a successful marriage and a marriage that's failing. So happy are those kinds of people that zero out their heart, making room for the kingdom. Say, man, now I want to delight in you. And third, invite God into every area of your life. In John 14, 23, we take a look at that. John 14, 23, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, I just want to pattern out my life with you. When we invite guests to our home, isn't it? I mean, don't we straighten up just a little bit? I mean, just create a little more of a space for everybody. Same with Jesus. Invite Jesus into every area of your life. I'll tell you, there will be things that you'll hear the devil will whisper to you and say, don't invite God there. If you invite God there, your new relationships, they'll run away. If you've been working at a place for 3 and 4 years and they don't know you're a Christian, invite God in to work. Invite God in. Watch how the kingdom of God starts to come, but he'll want to come through you first. Lord, fill every room in my house. Lord, come, occupy everything of me, my living room, our kitchen, bedroom. Lord, just fill every area, nothing lacking. I'll tell you, it'll shorten your suffering. It'll be amazing. If your friends can't handle the presence of the Lord, and don't discount the presence of God. Bring him in with you. I know he's wanting to bring his presence upon you. And he wants to bring such a happiness that you really haven't experienced yet. It's a joy that God gives. It's profound. Jesus said that. Happy are the people who are poor in spirit. Why, Lord? Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to rain it down. We're going to worship a little bit right now. I'll be right back to lead in prayer. Thank you, worship team.
Chains. Chains have been broken, and eyes have been opened, an army of dry bones is starting to rise, and death is defeated. We are victorious, for you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah.
Well, that's a great lyric. To our God we lift up one voice, but how about when we're by ourselves? Man, I want to be faithful to Him. When I don't have your support, Lord, can I take it and stand firm in my profession of faith? Well, you close your eyes with me just for a moment. Let me lead you in that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just not happy and you're downright disappointed with God, maybe even God's people, maybe even the minister. But I'll tell you, let's call upon the Lord. He's saying, I'll tell you, my child, you will be happiest when you zero everything out of your life and make room for my kingdom. I want to bring it on you. So, Lord, we want to thank you right now for those that would just say within their own hearts unto you, oh, Lord, I hear some things through the message, through the worship, that are very obvious to me, and I did not see them before, but you showed them to me now. And that John 14:23, those who love me will obey me, and my Father and I will come and make our home with you. Lord, we're asking right now, for those that need to give their lives to you, just call upon Jesus and say, Lord, I want to live for you. Those who have been kind of straddling the fence, Lord, help me. Help me to be strong, live for you. Help me, Lord, and not let what others do or don't do bump me off of the pursuit of you. Lord, I receive you. We make room for you today. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to be seated. Thank you so much. What a morning and what a delight as I welcome up Andre.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.